to God, they did not glorify Him as God. Look at the second phrase. Nor were, what's that word? Say thankful. Say thankful. They were not thankful. Now, I want you to see the chronological order in which they fell into sin. The first thing that happened to man was not that man fell into sin straight away, it tells us. It's because man, number one, did not glorify God. And man did not give thanks to God. Did not say, thank you, God. Even if they don't know God as Father, they could say, thank you, Almighty. Some are very rude. They just call God the big man upstairs. If God is the big man upstairs, then you must be the small man downstairs. Because they didn't give thanks, look at what happens. Chronological order in time frame. The first thing is they didn't glorify God. Second thing, they didn't give thanks. And then it says, but became futile in their thoughts. Something happens to their thought life. Their thought lines become depressed, down, possessed, and it becomes gripped under what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5 says, strongholds are formed. Do you notice that a person who is thankful has a different thought life from one who is complaining? Same situation you could face. But the difference that if one person is complaining, they will never solve the problem. But if the other is thankful, oh, thank God for this, thank God for that. There are millions of things you could thank God for. Amen. And some people just got caught up in that spirit of complaining. You go everywhere, people complain about this, complain about that, and criticize here, criticize that. Criticize the leaders of their land, criticize this, criticize that. Christians are not supposed to join that crowd. That may be the teh tarik talk. And remember this. If you're not thankful for where you are, where do you want to go? Alright, you say, let's say, alright, oh, you think Australia is very good. Now it's called a good nation. And you say, oh, it's good. I guarantee you, within 5 years, you find something to complain. You may say, America is good, you go there. Then, within 5 years, you also find something to complain. Remember this. In every place on this earth, wherever you are, you may say, well, maybe the Arctic Circle will do. You go there. Within 2 days, you may find something to complain. See, the ability to complain or to give thanks doesn't depend on circumstances. It depends on attitude. You could put somebody else in your position of a complainer, and that person will be just thankful. And remember these words that I always carry out. I didn't bring that section that I used to carry in my Bible along. It's in my Bible box. But it says here, a humble man is a person who is thankful to God and thankful to man for the smallest thing. Because that includes the biggest thing. But remember this. Humility receives grace from God. And we must be thankful to God and to man for the smallest thing. That is a mark of humility. When we forget to thank the person who operates the lift for you. Thank the cashier you pay at the supermarket. These small things demonstrate the mark of humility. The proud will just, right? Different. It's the attitude that we need to change. And this is what God says. Because they didn't glorify God, because they're not thankful, their mind's attitude change. Their mind becomes corrupt, futile in thought. And then it says in verse 21, their foolish hearts were darkened. And when that happened, in verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Their perception of God becomes changed. Do you notice that the most teachable people are thankful people? But the hardest people to teach are the complainers. Because there's a mental block that is there. Praise the Lord. And notice here it says in verse 23 that the image of God is changed. Do you realize that we all love Jesus here? We all acknowledge Jesus is Lord. We all serve the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father God. But somehow, sometimes when you converse with Christians, you don't seem to be talking about the same God. Wait a minute, don't jump on me. Say, what do you mean? Like, when we're talking about God and Jehovah, Rapha, God who heals, then the other Christians say, I don't believe in healing. I say, wait, which God do you believe in? Oh, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, wait a minute, that's the same God I believe in. But how come the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ on your side, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is different? How come your Father doesn't heal, my Father heals? By the way, is it the same Jesus Christ? Yes, it's the same Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to show is that somehow in our hearts, our concept of God is different. God is ever the same. He's the same. Immutable, unchangeable. Yesterday, today, and forever. But all our perceptions of God right now, even in this place, are different. Once you come to know Him, our perception of God grows. I mean, when I first came to know the Lord, I didn't know a lot of things about God, and my perception of Him was different. Some of you may have perceived that He is the big man upstairs with a big stick. After 5 years of learning the word, you change. You realize he was still the big man upstairs, but now he is with a box of gifts. Then after another 5 years, you realize that he's not just the big man upstairs, he's almighty. What has happened? Your perception of God has grown. Although we all serve the same Lord, we all serve the same God, we all love the same Jesus Christ, but yet, what we see about Him can be different. Why different? Depending on our mind and our heart's attitude. Isn't it amazing? What we can see doesn't depend on Him, but depend on us. How clearly we see depends on our eyes being strong and normal, and not just on what is there to see. The blind doesn't have the privilege of looking at the scenery and the rainbow. But it's still there. It depends on the perception. In a similar way, Romans 1 is telling us that it's because they are not thankful, their thoughts became futile, their hearts become darkened. And verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. Their perception of God changed. Imagine they see God as something corruptible. As a creature, a bird, a colored beast. Then only verse 24 takes place. Therefore, after all those things, therefore, God gave them to the uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies, etc., etc., etc. And it all started with not glorifying God and giving thanks. It all starts there. That is why in Hosea, I went back in Hosea 2, God doesn't just point to their sin, although He did point to the sins from chapter 4 onwards. But God points to the root of the sin. God says that they forgot Him. They forgot the source.
and they have no more dependence on Him. No more recognition. They did what Romans 8 forbade them. They forgot the Lord. They did not give thanks. There's a whole teaching on thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is powerful. It's an area that we need to adopt in our life. It has to become a permanent attitude in our life. To give thanks. To thank God for all that is around us. And God says, because of all these things, in verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8 of Hosea, she did not know that I gave her grain, new wine and oil, multiply her silver and gold. And when God gave them all those things, they went to Baal and they worshipped Baal, which was a famous, infamous worship that they had in the northern kingdom. Baal worship, introduced especially by Ahab and Jezebel. So we have here that they did not recognize God, they did not glorify Him as God, and then they did not give thanks. Therefore, they fell into all kinds of terrible sin, like Romans 1, the principle occurs in their life. The only way back is to get back recognition of God and be able to bless Him and thank Him all over again. So God predicts the judgment that will come. But as we look at this book, we want to consider the end time prophecies that are related to this book. And here are where some of these end time prophecies are mentioned. In chapter 1, that even as God pronounced judgment, God also points to a time of restoration. In verse 10, chapter 1 verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, then it shall be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Do you know that these prophecies have not been completely fulfilled? Because the Bible tells us that here God is pointing to a period of rejection. Hosea is not just prophesying to the Israelites in his time that Israel was going to be destroyed. Hosea prophetically, eschatologically, was predicting that when the Israelites fall, there will come a period of judgment and rejection by God and judgment by God. But during that time, there will be something taking place that he says that in verse 10, there will be a time close to where they will be restored. And about the time when they are to be restored, this thing will take place. It shall come to pass in a place where it was said to them, you are not my people. It shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Although it looks like that verse refers to them, it directly refers to the Gentiles. This is where prophecy is interpreted in the New Testament. Let's look at the book of Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. And Paul, in writing about the Gentiles, says in verse 24-25, says, even so, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. It shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. Now this prophecy is repeated in chapter 2 again of Hosea in verse 23, where God says towards the end of chapter 2 verse 23, then I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. Now it's interesting that Hosea, he himself may not know it, was prophesying about the church age. Hosea was saying in his prophecy that there will come a time, the same time that Israel is rejected, the Gentiles are accepted. It comes very strong. Although as he prophesied, it does not come in these clear sentences, because these prophecies, they prophesy without understanding fully what they were saying. What he was saying, if you study the prophecies carefully, every time he talks about the rejection of Israel, he talked about the acceptance of a group of people that are not named.